While fires continue to burn in Queensland and New South Wales, the true extent of the damage caused by those devastating infernos that hit our state last year is still being revealed, and one of the casualties was some ancient Aboriginal rock art at Carnarvon Gorge's Balloon Cave. Art that was older than the pyramids of Egypt and had attracted tens of thousands of visitors every year. ARC Australian Laureate Fellow Paul Tesson is a Professor of Anthropology and Archaeology with Griffith University and is the person who blew the whistle on the damage to the site through the Bradshaw Foundation this week. He's currently on an archaeological dig in China at the moment, but has managed to have a bit of time to speak to us on ABC Radio. Thank you for joining us, Professor Tesson.
Thank you, and good afternoon from Southwest Yunnan Province, China.
Nice clear line as well. I'm impressed with our technology today. Look, we've lost artwork that had survived for thousands of years in Australia, in country that was no stranger to fire. How was this even possible?
The really unfortunate thing is that with good intentions, National Parks and Wildlife built a viewing platform and a boardwalk to enable disabled access and to keep people from touching the paintings, because some of them had been scratched before. And to be good by the environment, they used a recycled plastic plank product. Unfortunately, that's sort of like solidified petroleum, and if you have a hot fire underneath it, it melts and then it just explodes into a ball of flame, and that's exactly what happened.
So how badly damaged is this ancient Aboriginal rock art?
The whole shelter was blackened and a lot of the wall fell to the ground. It just spalled off because of the heat, taking some of the hand stencils with it. There was a wonderful set of hafted stone axes up quite high. There's a big chunk of that fell off. There's a crack through it and it's blackened with soot.
How old was some of this work?
We don't know exactly, and rock art's notoriously difficult to date, but we do think that some of this art in the area is a few thousand years of age. Some of it could be a bit more recent or older.
We're hearing here from Professor Paul Tesson. He is with the Australian Research Council, a Laureate Fellow, and also the Chair of Rock Art Research. What did this rock art tell us about the people who lived around Carnarvon Gorge all those millennia ago?
Well, the rock art's still really significant for Bidjara, Garingbal, and other Aboriginal people of the area today, and indeed until quite recently it was an initiation site. There were likely all sorts of activities practiced these locations. There are another three sites that are open to the public that are even more extensive with stencils and some engraved designs. And it looks like they were the center of all sorts of ceremonial activity long ago and up until the very recent past.
How common are these walkways that have contributed to this problem at Carnarvon Gorge?
Well, a very similar platform and walkway was installed at a site in the Keep River area of the Northern Territory. And in 2008, the same thing happened. A fire went through, it heated up some of the plastic, it melted, a huge fireball resulted, and all sorts of paintings and engravings in a natural archway crumbled to the ground. Now, unfortunately, although everyone wanted to get the word out then and some things were published, it appears that people have forgotten that this stuff is really dangerous. So we need to make sure, and indeed the Aboriginal community wants to make sure, that no one ever uses this in a rock shelter with art again.
Yeah, and it's so unfortunate, isn't it? The walkways were built to try and protect the art, and yet they have been instrumental in destroying it. What needs to be done, to your mind, now in Australia when it comes to rock art?
Well, there are a number of other rock art sites across the country with wooden viewing platforms, but they also are at risk. And in the past, some in New South Wales and the ACT have burnt and caused damage. The best thing is a non-destructive platform, something made out of steel, for instance, or concrete and steel. There's an excellent example at the Gibbon site on the edge of Royal National Park, near the edge of Sydney, a fantastic walkway and staircase going up, looking over an engraved platform with some engraved whales below. That will never burn. It keeps people off the platform because they were walking over the engravings before, but it won't, in the long term, do any damage.
What do you feel like we've lost here?
Well, we've lost another bit of important heritage for the local Aboriginal community. They were just gutted and many were quite ill for a while afterwards. Rock art sites, when people visit them, it enhances their well-being. I published some research earlier this year that shows this is true of not only Indigenous people, but others visiting sites. The whole experience raises endorphins and so forth.
People find it quite spiritual, don't they? Even if they aren't necessarily a traditional owner, some people describe it as being somewhat spiritual, seeing some of these sites.
That's right, because they're usually an amazing spiritual, aesthetically powerful parts of the landscape to begin with. And then the imagery, often including spiritual beings, can have a profound impact on people. But, of course, the reverse is true, too. When we lose a site like this, it really hurts people's well-being, and the community was upset and depressed for many months. We work closely with National Parks to try to get the best salvage out of this, but in the end, the site will never be the same.
A sad one, unfortunately, and maybe a cautionary tale for other rock art sites. Professor Paul Tayson, thank you for joining us from China today.
Thank you.
Professor of Anthropology and Archaeology with Griffith University and an ARC Australian Laureate Fellow, Paul Tayson with us on Drive.